Leipzig survive a late scare against Manchester United.
And RB Leipzig have made it 3-0 to surely snuff out United's chances of getting that vital point they so desperately wanted.
Meanwhile, Lazio also held on against Club Brugge to secure their place in the last 16.
It comes to the edge of the penalty area. It's towards Vormer, and a shot left-footed has come back up the underside of the bar from De Ketelaer. Would you believe it? And Lazio survived.
And Juve topped Group G after a stunning victory at Barcelona. And Ronaldo steps up and scores it. Cristiano Ronaldo takes the lead. In the battle between him and Messi tonight, it's Barcelona 0, Juventus 1. We'll react to all of the night's action as the last 16 starts to take shape. Welcome along to the podcast. I'm Rob Daly, and we're looking back on Tuesday's Match Day 6 action. I'm joined by commentators Jack Yeoley and Jonathan Beck, and we're also joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, so many stories tonight.
Yes, so many, and an incredible night for Leipzig. They gave us some huge nights in the UEFA Champions League last season, and they've given us another one tonight as they make it back to the last 16. And of course, a little face-off between two of the greatest at Camp Nou.
We will get to that, of course. We love putting our commentators on the spot on this show. Three-word match report time. Jackie Oatley was doing Leipzig United. Try and sum that one up for us in three words, Jackie.
Nagelsmann nailed it with the way his team approached that match against Manchester United. The positivity, the work ethic, the way they all worked for each other, the quality involved as well. Thoroughly deserved victory for them.
And Jonathan Beck was watching Barcelona versus Juve. Jonathan, your three words, please.
Well, after Andy's setup, I can only really say Ronaldo beats Messi.
I like it, and we'll get to that game very shortly. But let's start with that massive tie in Group H, where Leipzig took on Manchester United in a battle to progress to the last 16.
Leipzig looking to come forward. They have to win this game, remember? And Lino scores! Left-footed, low, and he drives it past David De Gea. Progression are already a goal up. Angelino just inside the United penalty area, curls it in first time. Oh, that's a great ball! And it's 2-0! And it's Haidara with the finish. And Manchester United are absolutely shell-shocked. And RB Leipzig have made it 3-0 to surely snuff out United's chances of getting that vital point they so desperately wanted. And the substitute, Justin Kluivert, nipped in to nudge the ball past David De Gea. It's RB Leipzig 3, Manchester United 0. Greenwood goes down under the challenge of Konate, and it looks as though he has given the penalty. It's Bruno Fernandes against Guendouzi, right-footed, and he scores. And Manchester United are back in it with 10 minutes remaining. It's a high one towards Pogba. Brilliant challenge from him. And he scores. Or has the referee given it?
Paul Pogba definitely thinks it's a goal.
And the goal has been given. Wow. It's RB Leipzig 3, Manchester United 2.
That is the way it would stay. United knew ahead of kickoff that they would be through if they avoided defeat. They were beaten, and Leipzig knew they'd be through if they claimed a victory. That is what they managed to get. But Jackie, how close were United to drawing that level at 3-3?
Well, they were extremely close, bearing in mind that Mukiele, he got in the end of a cross from right-hand side from Manchester United in the dying moments of the game, and he outstretched a boot and he was heading goalwards. And Peter Guendouzi, the goalkeeper for Leipzig, just closed his legs in time to deny United what would have been an equaliser. It wouldn't have stopped people talking about the United performance, by the way, because they were expected to go through, but that would have been the equaliser that they so desperately craved. But really, it can't mask the fact that it was a wonderful team performance from RB Leipzig, and they thoroughly deserve to be in the last 16.
Yeah, they really do. And it's just such an enterprising performance in every way. They were brave enough to attack the game from but off. And then they were organised enough to defend very well, actually, for the majority of the second half. And it was only when it got to 3-0 that it was really at the point where Peter Gulacsi had to make any saves. And bear in mind, this is in a defence which is stripped of its best player in Dayo Upamecano, who had a huge influence when they got to the semi-finals of the Champions League. I thought Ibrahima Konate and Willy Orban stepped up very, very well in that respect. And I thought Julian Nagelsmann used his subs very well as well. Not just from the fact that Justin Cliver ended up scoring what was the decisive goal, but just to take the pressure off them. You had the hold-up play from Yusuf Paulsen when they went, as Jackie said, without that orthodox centre-forward. I think that really helped get them out a little bit when it was still 2-0 and when it had stretched to 3-0. And also the fact that Cliver, making those runs, managed to take the ball into the corners, managed to draw fouls, managed to occupy United and get them really facing their own goal when they wanted to be facing towards Gulacsi.
Jackie, for Leipzig tonight, how big do you think that victory is for the football club?
Oh, absolutely huge. I mean, we know about the fact that they have a very recent history, and the fact they reached the semi-finals last season was outstanding from their point of view. But to be able to back it up this season and to come out of the group is something to really be proud of, bearing in mind when they're drawn in a group with Manchester United and Paris Saint-Germain, as well as Başakşehir, but for them to progress and to achieve such plaudits from so many people for the way they play. I mean, the fact that they went to Bayern at the weekend, drew 3-3 with some of their best players rested and then taken off as well because they had this game coming, is really testament to how far they've come in such a short period of time. But I really loved watching them play. I loved their approach. They were so positive. I mean, how many teams do you know that when they go 2-0 up early on in a game, when they know they just need to win to go through, how many of them would have kept going? And every time they get the ball piled forwards, of course there are issues with that, and yes, United did score a couple of late goals with a slightly fortuitous penalty, it has to be said, but I loved their attitude to the game and the fact they're such team players, and every time a United player got the ball there was at least one Leipzig player right on top of him, often two as well. So from that perspective, from their approach to the game, the mentality, they thoroughly deserve to progress.
Andy, I mean, we're all blessed with hindsight here, but what elements of the team selection, the way the team set up and the way they were so dismantled early, will Ole Gunnar Solskjaer be rueing about his United team?
Well, I think he's a little unfortunate here, because what he tried to do against Paris Saint-Germain last week was attack, to go with a big front four, to really go for it, and it caught them back on their heels, and Paris Saint-Germain were able to make the most of the space behind their front four and make merry in the opening half hour of that game. So he decided to be a little bit more circumspect. And I can understand why, because they wanted to go there for a point. I just wonder if they needed both Shaw and Telles in the team. I think maybe they should have just gone with Telles. I wonder if they could have found a spot for Paul Pogba, who I thought improved the team when he came on. You look at the fact that if they did have an edge over Leipzig, it wasn't maybe on the way they used the ball, because I thought Leipzig used the ball much better, much more sensibly, much more economically. Pogba is someone who could do that. And, of course, he could add the extra physical strength to that midfield, which is really where Scott McTominay made hay. And that was the only place where they really had the edge over Leipzig.
OK, let's hear from Leipzig defender and goalscorer Angelinho.
Special night. Until the last minute, very, very good. We fought until the end. We made it difficult. We got the win. That's what we wanted. You can't play good football all the time. And it's good that we can still play and get the result when it's not so beautiful. The team is making a great effort in the Champions League. We play really good football against really good teams. And it's all the team. The team is doing great. And that's how, thankfully, I'm doing great also.
Angelinho there, what a night for him, and what a night for RB Leipzig. There was another game in Group H, Paris Saint-Germain versus Istanbul Başakşehir here. We do have an update from that fixture, which was suspended a few minutes into the evening following an incident at tonight's UEFA Champions League match between Paris Saint-Germain and Istanbul Başakşehir here. UEFA has, after discussion with both clubs, decided on an exceptional basis to have the remaining minutes of the match played tomorrow with a new team of match officials. The kickoff has been set for 18:55 CET. A thorough investigation on the incident that took place will be opened immediately. So that game will be concluded on Wednesday evening. Okay, let's turn our attention now to Group F. We had Lazio and Club Brugge vying for a place in the last 16. John Bradley, watch this one for us.
And all of a sudden, they've got a chance on goal. Mignolet makes a fine save, but on the follow-up, it's tapped home. And Lazio have the start they wanted. Joaquin Correa, 10 metres out. On towards Norlang. Managed to get away from one man and then another. And the shot was saved by Reina. And the follow-up is by Ruud Vormer. And Brugge have levelled it within a couple of minutes. And the captain of Brugge scores a captain's equaliser. Heading towards the byline, and Mata slides in with a firm challenge, and the referee has given the penalty. The goalkeeper in luminous yellow is sent the wrong way, and Immobile will ease the Lazio nerves because he is faultless from the penalty spot. It's Lazio 2, Club Brugge 1. Oh, a header down, and it's into the back of the net, and all of a sudden, Brugge have a lifeline, and it's Van Aken who meets the ball. It's a delicious cross from the right-hand side, and Van Aken met it 5 metres out and puts the ball beyond Reina, and there's life in this one yet. It comes to the edge of the penalty area. It's towards Vormer, and a shot left-footed. It's come back off the underside of the bar from De Ketelaer. Would you believe it? And Lazio survive.
An extraordinary finale, as we heard from John Bradley's commentary there. They nearly did it, Club Brugge, with 10 men. They nearly got the goal that would have knocked Lazio out and sent them through. But Lazio get the job done. And for Simone Inzaghi, their head coach, Andy Brassel, it's just another step on what has been a brilliant coaching journey with the capital club.
Yeah, it really has. I think he's one of the underrated coaches in European football. And considering the difficulties they had with positive COVID tests during this Champions League group campaign, I know they felt really good about going away and getting a point at Club Brugge, about going away at getting a point at Zenit with a very depleted team. And that just shows that Inzaghi has got everyone buying in. You know, you've had big contributions from the likes of Felipe Caicedo in matches. He got the equaliser in Zenit and in St. Petersburg, of course. It's been a real squad effort from Lazio. It's been hard, and that they had really, really tough opposition tonight in Club Brugge, but they've got there into the last 16. And, you know, when you've been out of the Champions League for over a decade, that is no mean feat.
A brilliant result for Lazio in the end. Dortmund joined them in the round of 16. Of course, we knew they were already through. They knew that a victory at Zenit would secure them top spot, and they got that. Driussi putting Zenit ahead. Piszczek and Witzel getting Dortmund the advantage in the second half. That claims them top spot, and a big advantage being seeded in the draw on Monday for the round of 16. Let's switch to Group G. A quick one on Dynamo Kiev. They've beaten Ferencváros by 1-0, and that means Dynamo Kiev, with that goal on the hour from Popov, a fine header, takes them into the Europa League. They claim third in Group G. Ferencváros finished bottom of the section and are eliminated from European competition for the campaign. But look, the big headline from that group was Barcelona 0, Juventus 3. Juve knew they had to get a better scoreline than 2-0, the margin by which they were beaten at home by Barca on match day 2, to top them, to take top spot in the group. And Jonathan Beck, they did it.
They did. Two Cristiano Ronaldo penalties. Just, you know, the man stepping up to the mark and actually coming out on top against Leo Messi. 4 goals in 4 Champions League games this season. It's numbers 133 and 134 in 174 UEFA Champions League games. Leonardo Bonucci has called it an historic result. They played with heart. It was important, really, to win the group, but also to grow in confidence, he said, and they did just that. Overturning that 2-0 scoreline and overturning Barcelona's previous lead at the top of the group. Weston McKennie's acrobatic effort in between the two Ronaldo penalties. But, yeah, a display of confidence, a really really impressive display, really, for a side that's been remoulded a little by Andrea Pirlo and are starting to gel at the right time.
We were all excited for this Messi-Ronaldo battle. I don't think we expected the strongest teams, given both teams were already through. Granted, top spot was up for grabs. But Andy Brassel, how big a result do you think this is for the Bianconeri head coach Andrea Pirlo? Because it's been a tough start for him too.
It has, and you need that keynote match really to prove that you're Juventus coach. And I think for them who want to be very much part of the conversation in terms of UEFA Champions League winners, it is a very open competition again this season. It's a declaration of intent, and it's a very, very important one. And I think when you look at that team, the fact that it's an evolved team, the fact that you've got Artur and Weston McKennie in midfield, the fact that they went to Camp Nou with a very inexperienced bench, shows that there's that sort of depth there that you really need if you're going to go far in the Champions League. But, of course, all about Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, there was talk in various places about rotation of Messi and Ronaldo tonight. Neither of them would have wanted that, and particularly not Cristiano Ronaldo. And, of course, coming within a whisker of becoming only the second player to score a hat-trick, a UEFA Champions League hat-trick at the Camp Nou. Do you know who the other one was?
I do not.
Andrei Shevchenko.
Oh, brilliant. Andy Brassel pulling out the big stats late in the show, Andy. You're non-stop. So Juventus win the group. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Messi and Ronaldo this week. Jonathan Beck, if I had to put you on the spot and you had to pick one of them.
Oh, don't do that.
I'm sorry, it's my favourite thing to do. Do you not have a favourite?
At least you didn't ask me to compare them to Pele or Maradona or Cruyff.
But come on, eras. Do you not have a favourite? Come on, what kind of guy? Are you a Ronaldo guy or a Messi guy?
Normally I'd call myself a Messi guy,
yeah,
I have to say. I would call myself a Messi guy, quite a purist. But, you know, I don't think you can argue with the dedication, the work rate, the fact he still trains like a 25-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo, and the fact that he's still making the difference. You know, wherever he goes, he's got a real desire to make this Juventus side Champions League winners. And, you know, he's done that. He's done that in the past. He's been there and he's worn the T-shirt. But Juventus haven't done that for a long, long time. And he's after that with them.
Jonathan, OK, I didn't really care about the answer. I just wanted to hear you try and dance on the line there and work out. OK, let's go to Group E. Rennes 1, Sevilla 3. Sevilla were already guaranteed second in the section, but that's a good win. And En-Nesyri again, a couple of goals for him, Andy Brassel, in that win. How close do you think he is to becoming a more regular starter for Julian Lopetegui's side?
Well, it's a pretty good testimonial, isn't it? The amount of Champions League goals that he scored this season, and really important ones. I think you go back to the home game against Krasnodar when they were down to 10 men, when they were 2-0 down, and he really saved them on that occasion. He got the winner in that game, and that was absolutely vital for shaping their future in this group. But for Sevilla, who are considered synonymous, really, and rightly to an extent, with the UEFA Europa League, they've been proud of that, but they want to shed that tag as well. They want to become fixtures in the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League. So this for them is a huge step forward. And this tonight really showed that even when they're lacking a few players, they've no fit fullbacks at the moment. They've a few others out and a few that they wanted to give a rest, like Jesus Navas, for example, their most experienced player. For them to show that they have the squad, I think he's very important when we're looking forward to the draw and looking forward to the next round.
Speaking of squads, Chelsea are pretty stacked. They came into their game tonight making 10 changes. Tino Angerin, the 19-year-old, made his first start for Chelsea, England under-19 international. Billy Gilmore came back from a knee problem. They drew 1-1 with Krasnodar, who were guaranteed to finish bottom of the section. But Andy, what are you making of Chelsea and the shape they're in right now and how deep they can go in this competition?
Yeah, I think they're in a really good place. And I think if you look at the teams that are genuine Champions League contenders, the ones that can defend properly, which Chelsea have definitely learned to do over the last month and a half, they've looked very, very impressive, led by Thiago Silva, who of course was having a well-earned breather tonight. And then you look at all the attacking parts and you think that Ziyech is still to hit his best for Chelsea. Kai Havertz, they still have to find a place for him in the team. You would expect Timo Werner to start scoring more regularly. They have so many options. And if you look back at some of those group games, you look at the return with Krasnodar actually in Russia. They didn't play 4-0 well, but they won 4-0 anyway, which I think shows that they're really getting it right at both ends of the pitch. I think they're a dark horse for this competition.
Let's hear from the Chelsea manager, Frank Lampard.
It was a difficult match for us to approach. A lot of changes, people to get minutes. who haven't played so much. A few people, Billy coming back from his injury with his first start, Tino Anjurin with his first start. I was really pleased. You know, it could be more. We could win the game. We always want to win. But to come out of it with people getting minutes, people coming off the bench, no injuries, positive attitude through the evening, I was happy.
Frank Lampard there, delighted Chelsea manager. He has got them through the group stage for the second season running. We knew that before tonight. They win the section with 14 points. A quick look ahead to Wednesday night action from 6:30 CET. Live commentary of Ajax versus Atalanta in the early kickoff. Ajax need to win to pip Atalanta to second in that spot, that group behind Liverpool. And we have commentary of Real Madrid versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. Update of Inter Shakhtar in that crazy Group B where all of Madrid, Gladbach, Inter and Shakhtar I have hopes of reaching the round of 16. Let's get man of the matches then. Jackie Oatley, starting with you, Leipzig United.
Marcel Sabitzer for Leipzig. He was absolutely everywhere. Phenomenal work ethic.
Jonathan Beck, Barca Juve.
An easy one. Cristiano Ronaldo, two penalties, 3-0 Juventus.
OK, and Andy Brassel, you can see us out. Any other player from the match night?
I think I'm going to go for Remy Cabella for his goal at Stamford Bridge.
Nice choice, Andy. OK, everyone, thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. A reminder, full match commentary on the show on Wednesday night of Real Madrid versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. It should be an absolute cracker. Of course, we'll be across the games involving Liverpool, Bayern, Salzburg, Atletico, another huge game in the group stage, Manchester City, Marseille and Olympiacos, Porto. But that is all we have time for. 6:30 p.m. CET, every single Champions League match night for live commentary and analysis, and download our podcast shortly after every night using your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.